Well, good morning. It's been an interesting morning. It started off me trying to get a cookie to eat today, and they have these wonderful molasses cookies in the kitchen, except they're frozen. And I was really hungry for a molasses cookie. I mean, I had my eyes on them and really like, oh, this is going to be good. And then I realized it was frozen, so I tried to use the microwave. Couldn't even figure out how to, I just want to cook it for a minute, right? And it has all these things I need to do, and Babby tried to help, and Donna tried to help. And then we finally got it heated. And then I went to open the door, and I dropped it right on the floor. The whole cookie, I had one little piece, but Donna and Babby were so gracious, they gave me another cookie and heated it up for me. And so it was very nice. But you know, food's important to a lot of us, right? Whether it be Thanksgiving or the Christmas holidays, whatever it is, food's an important part. Whether it be a quinceañera, a wedding reception, whatever, food is a vital part of our lives, isn't it? In fact, the word companion literally means break bread with someone. So there's something special about having delicious food with wonderful company coming together, right? It makes us special. It's wonderful. And we have to have food. I mean, we can't survive without it. And one of the sad things that we see, touched among many sad things, is our girls especially, who are anorexic, not just girls, but primarily, who feel like they're overweight and yet they are not. And they don't eat. So we have to eat to survive. Well, in our text for today, Jesus talks about spiritual food. And we have to eat spiritual food to stay alive and be healthy spiritually. But first of all, I want to talk about the hunger. As we talk today about one of the I Am statements of Jesus, I am the bread of life, Jesus being the bread of life, we're going to talk about the hunger we have. Well, in our text, we've been talking about the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on water, and then the discussion that Jesus has now in John 6 about what he meant by saying, by feeding the 5,000, and the hidden meaning and the deeper meaning of feeding the 5,000. It wasn't just about bread. By the way, there's something about baked bread that smells so good, right? One year at Family Christ, I was preaching on this text, and I had the ladies bake bread during the service. Yeah, and they had a aromatic sermon illustration while I'm preaching. I know it's cruel. Everybody was starving. but it made the point that just imagine the smell of baked bread. I used to live near a bakery, Wholesome Bakery in Springfield, Illinois. And my goodness. And then my school, the Lutheran school, is by a Pillsbury Mills. So they bake the cake mix and the frosting. We'd go out recess and we'd be so hungry for cake, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, I digress. Well, not really, because food's important. But spiritual food's even more important. And there's an emptiness in every single human heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. And Kelly and I were just talking about that. Kelly was at a party, and of course Kelly's not quiet, right? And he's had an opportunity to talk to an unbeliever. And so, Kelly being the evangelist that he is, do you think he said, no, he saw that as a God-given divine appointment, and he was talking about, he was witnessing very lovingly and tactfully. He didn't punch him out. Thank God, that's probably a good thing. He teaches us, absolutely. And I'm going to come back to you on that point in a little bit. But the point is that this man that Kelly was talking to was hungry and didn't know it. And he got real angry about it. He hated religion. And Kelly said, I'm not religious. I hate religion too. What do you mean? Well, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ that sustains us, that satisfies us. Religion doesn't do it, right? None of us are into religion. The ritual, the formula, that's all emptiness. It doesn't hit the heart. It doesn't give us life. It doesn't give you strength. It doesn't give you hope. It doesn't help you cope. It doesn't give you joy. It doesn't give you life. It doesn't give you love. It doesn't give you strength. It doesn't give you a future. It doesn't give you hope. It doesn't give you a purpose. It doesn't give anything, right? Except a false sense of security and of rigidity. But a relationship with Jesus Christ satisfies. But there's that hidden, there's an empty vacuum in the hidden heart, the soul deep down, that parties and sex and drugs and alcohol and work and family and sports and pleasure, nothing, no one, no thing, family members, nobody can fill that void, right? No one, no, nothing can do it. And God has designed that only He can fill that emptiness, right? And people are hungry, they're starving for life, for meaning in life. They really are. except they don't know where to turn. And there's been so much abuse in the church, the institutional church, that many people are not even willing to take a chance on Jesus, on the church. So we're going to have to go and show them love. We're going to have to be Jesus to them and not even maybe witness for a while and just show them that we're different, that we do love, because people are so turned off by people as well as institutions that they don't trust one another many times, let alone the church or institutions or anything like that, or authority figures. So we got our work cut out for us. But we have the Holy Spirit, right? And so Jesus is the one who gives us the strength to go out and do what Kelly did last night. And that was awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Kelly. It really was neat. And we ought to be ready, wherever we go, to be a loving witness. And we know, I'm not like Kelly. You're not like Kelly, probably, right? There's only one Kelly. A unique. But we're all unique. I'm picking on you today. But we're all shaped differently. We all have different spiritual gifts, a different passion, different abilities, different talent, different personality, different life experience. And that brings, all that comes together is who we are as a person. And we are called, as Pastor Rick said, to be who we are in Christ. Okay? And so we go and we are that loving witness. We show Jesus. And then eventually when the time comes, we give words. Because people are hungry. Because this guy kept talking to Kelly. He's mad at him. Just cussing him out. But then he'd always come back to Kelly. Wanted to know more. And then he'd back off and he ended up giving Kelly a hug at the end of the party. So that's really neat. People are hungry. They really are hungry. They just don't know where to find that bread. And I heard a really neat definition of a witness years and years and years ago when I started seminary. This is a pastor said, we are just one beggar telling another beggar where we found a piece of bread. You know, it's not about us. Say, I found this bread that satisfies you. You ought to try it. Because, if you go to a good restaurant, you really like this restaurant, you tell people about it, right? You say, you got to try this restaurant. And that's what makes that restaurant flourish and grow. There's always people there. It's word of mouth, right? Say, you got to try this. They don't have to pay you, although sometimes they do that. But you just naturally will tell somebody because you want them to have the same benefit of that experience. And it's the experience at a restaurant, isn't it? Not just the food, it's the ambiance, it's the atmosphere, it's the people, it's the service. Don't you hate it to go to a nice restaurant, there's great food, and it's horrible service? It's like, what is this, McDonald's or Burger King? What the heck? Drives me crazy. Just nuts. But on the other hand, when there's great service, we should, as Christians, I believe, tip accordingly and talk to the person, look them in the eye, and call them by the first name like Rick and Robin do. And I think it's a great witness because it catches them off guard. Like, wow, you're treating them like a person, not like some subject or servant that's at your beck and call. Anyway, I digress. Sorry about that. But we are called to be a witness because we have been satisfied. We have tasted and seen how the Lord is so good, right? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, I am the bread that gives life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who has faith in me will ever be thirsty. I have told you already that you have seen me and still you do not have faith in me. Everything and everyone that the Father has given me will come to me and I won't turn any of them away. Isn't that a great verse? I will not cast out anybody who comes to me. But Pastor, I did this and I have done that. Jesus forgives us regardless of our past. He will not cast out anyone. And I thank God for each one of you here. Because we have that atmosphere of acceptance in this church that very, very few churches have. I mean, it's extraordinary what we have, what you do to set the atmosphere, welcoming every single person, no matter what they look like or what they smell like or their past or anything like that. That's really important. Jesus has that, the open arms. He's not like a policeman, stop. He's saying, come. I will not cast out anybody. Wow. And that's a great message for Christmas, right? Speaking of Christmas, on Wednesday nights we're looking at Christmas carols, doing a Bible study based on Christmas carols. And if you remember the lesson that Isaiah 11 that Seal read, we talked about last Wednesday, and Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we just sang, we're going to talk about this Wednesday. There's a lot of deep theology in what we just sang in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But anyway, speaking of that, where was Jesus born? Little town of Bethlehem. Never heard of before Jesus was born. You know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. so here you have the bread of life, born in a little town that literally is house of bread. So people go, where Jesus born? House of bread? Do you think that's coincidental? It was prophesied in Micah 5:2 that he would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah. The house of bread, the bread of life, born in the house of bread. It's been called the house of bread. He is the one that satisfies. And speaking of that Christmas carol, since we've been talking about Christmas carols, and I won't have time to talk about this Wednesday, so I'm going to throw it in here, a little plug, and get my extra Christmas carol in. That carol, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy darkness shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Imagine that, the hopes and fears of every single person who's ever been born or will be born. The hopes and fears of all the years before Jesus, B.C. and A.D. in the year of our Lord, is met in Jesus Christ. When He came to be born as a baby, it started right there. The God in the flesh coming to earth. Jesus was always existing, but when He came to earth, the plan of salvation said, okay, here we go. It starts moving and operating. No longer the law of the Old Testament and what Hebrews talks about, the shadow of things to come. Now we have the real deal. We have the real person in a manger. God in the flesh from Bethlehem. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. Where mortals sleep, the angels keep their wrath of wondering love, the watch of wondering love. O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us. Abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. So the bread of life from the town of the house of bread comes to us on this Advent, this Christmas season, and He wants to come to others. The question I have is, will you be a witness? Will you tell other hungry people where you found a piece of bread, where you found life, where you found food? Because Jesus... And there's a lot of grumbling, like Kelly got somebody grumbling at him. Jesus had it right here too. People looking and going, how could this be the Son of God? Isn't He Jesus, the Son of Joseph? Don't we know His father and mother? How can He say that He's come down from heaven? They had objections then. They have objections now. There's always objections to Jesus. People are fine about talking about God, about happy holidays. But you talk about Merry Christmas, when did that become a four-letter word? When I was young, school, public schools, didn't have to worry about saying Merry Christmas or having Christmas holidays or pageants. Well, now it's become a nasty word, right? It reminds me of that song, it's called Christmas with a capital C, but I'm not going to sing it and we'll just move on. But anyway, it's all about Jesus. And there were objections then, and there's objections now, but they didn't stop Jesus. I love what Jesus said. Jesus told them, stop grumbling. Sometimes it's good to say that. Stop complaining. The children of Israel, they had the manna fall down. That's all we get is manna. I'm tired of that. I want meat. God says, you want meat? Whoop! Quails. Quails falling all over the place. Quails everywhere. I've heard of a parent doing this. The kid says, I don't want ice cream. I just want ice cream. I don't want this. I don't want meat. I want vegetables. So they fed him, the kid, ice cream every meal for like a week. He says, you want ice cream? Here you go. And he wasn't hungry for ice cream anymore. But Jesus comes in the middle of the grumbling, in the middle of the resistance, and it didn't stop Jesus or Paul or the apostles, right? I just thought of that. They didn't go, oh, gee, people don't like us. Gee, they're upset at our message. They were like a bulldog, an ox, a lion, continuing to go forward no matter what, and nothing stopped them from sharing that bread of life with others, which is really a good message for us today. Don't give up. We have the bread of life with us. Amen? And as Kelly said, God will teach us all. He teaches us all the time. And how does He teach us? Well, it's through the Word of God, right? When Jesus was tempted by the devil, do you remember what Jesus said every time? It is written. He didn't, even Jesus, with all his wisdom and being God in the flesh and all his knowledge, didn't debate Satan. He simply quoted the word, because this is the sword of the Spirit, the two-edged sword. And when this word of God is spoken, it has power. The word has spoken, it has power. The spoken word has power, right? And when we receive it on a regular basis, we feed on it. Do you feel fed when we're hearing the word and studying the word? It's like it's something. It does something inside of us. It's like chewing on and digesting the word. In fact, I've got my old Lutheran hymnal here. See, I didn't have tradition. I was brought the right way, as my folks say. So you got to go back to that. And they always give me reminders. But anyway, there is an old prayer from the old liturgy. I don't know if you folks in the ELCA had it, but it's called the Collect for the Word. And the word collect means collection or gathering of ideas into one paragraph. But it says, "Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them," eating them of food, "that by patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life." Inwardly digest the word. We chew on the word. The literal word for meditate, to meditate or have meditation, is to chew on it, like a cow chews a cud. I think it's gross, but it chews its food over and over and over and over and over. I was taught I have to chew my food so many times. I don't do that anymore. I just, come on. But anyway, we are called for the Word to chew on it and meditate on it and think about it and basically be quiet about it and pray through it. And then it becomes part of our life. Kelly and I were talking about that Word becomes part of us, where then Kelly has something to say to these people based on the Word of God. Not like, well, Kelly says, I think this and I think that. This is what God says. And the Word is very important, because Jesus said in that temptation with the devil, by the devil, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And when there's a word that comes out of God's mouth into our heart, it satisfies us like no other word. There's nothing like the living Word of God, right? And the Bible talks about having pastors that feed the flock with the grain, the green grass, the pasture of God's Word. There's no word that Pastor Rick and I can have, no cute stories or illustrations that can substitute for this solid Word. No matter if you go through cancer, death, separation, divorce, losing everything, this Word will sustain you. My Word won't. Nobody, no man's word. This Word will sustain you. I guarantee it, right? Because God guarantees it. So we are called to feed on this Word. And as we're about to begin a new year, this might be a good time to think about having a plan to go through the Bible or a book of Bible, whatever. Start a plan of reading through the Bible 1 year, whatever. But have a plan. That's your homework, okay, this Advent season. Think about the new year, of how you're going to get into the Word if you aren't, or continue a plan, or what plan will you have to feed on the Word. Because if we, what happens, Kelly, if we don't feed on the Word every day? We just dry up. We don't have the energy. We're weak. And we can't operate as a Christian, and we can't deal with situations in life unless we feed on this Word. It's really important. There's nothing we could say that's more important. We've said it over and over again. Jesus is saying it to us. He's the bread of life. God teaches us through the Word, and He feeds our souls. And there's never been a time in the history of a church where we need to be fed. And we can't have baby Christians. We've got to grow up, right? We've got to grow. Yeah, that's right. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are the bread of life. You came from Bethlehem, a house of bread, and You feed our souls. Where would we be without You? Where would we go? What would we do without Your Word? We talk about food and enjoying the foods of this holiday season and the smells and the different tastes and how satisfying food is, and being with other friends who enjoy that food, or family, and it just enhances the experience. But there's nothing like the experience of feeding on You. Your Word comes to us, and You, Jesus, if Your presence fills us and satisfies us and makes us hungry for more. Help us, Lord, to have a spiritual appetite for Your Word, to be hungry for Your Word, and help us to be appetizers for other people and make them hungry. When they see us, when they hear us, it makes them so hungry. They're just starving for You, and they're desperate for You, and they run to You for that food to satisfy them, even to eternal life. Help us to feed on You, Jesus, and on Your Word. And may Your Spirit give us the appetite, the hunger, and then the power to go out and share that Word that satisfied us, that can satisfy the hearts of others. In Jesus, the Bread of Life's name, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.